This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Jennifer Ludden in Washington. Neil Conan's away. Back in 1983, a movie called A Christmas Story came out to immediate success. The tale about a young boy's quest for his heart's desire hit a chord for everyone who ever spent the month of December hoping and pleading for a pony or a Cabbage Patch doll or a weapon of minor destruction.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts, the Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle. For weeks, I had been scheming to get my mitts on one of these fearsome blue steel beauties.
Do you remember that passion? That desperate longing to find the one toy you really desired under the tree? And what about the joy of actually getting it? Now that this generation of kids has torn open all the perfect packages on yet another Christmas morning, it's time to think back to the shiny chrome-plated new bike or easy-bake oven that thrilled your young heart. What was the one toy you won't forget? What made it so special? Our number here in Washington is 1-800-989-TALK. That's 1-800-989-8255. Or you can send us an email at totn@npr.org. Joining us now from his home in London is Stephen Bailey. He's a design consultant who spent some time reflecting recently on toy trends. Welcome to the show.
Hi, happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. So what are your recollections of favorite toys?
Well, I don't know. I mean, my own favorite toy as a child, I seem to remember, wasn't any one of the elaborate, you know, electrical things or complicated construction sets which my diligent and doting parents bought me. The thing I actually liked most was a simple wooden frame with a hinged door in it. And this could be, I mean, this simple device which my father made, it could be a submarine, it could be a truck, it could be a piece of architecture, it could be anything.
Your father made it for you?
Yeah, yes. I mean, my father, love him as I do, wasn't terribly good at making things, but he could make a simple frame, and the simple frame with a hinged door. I mean, that seemed to, I mean, both practically and metaphorically, opened up all the sorts of possibilities. And what I'm trying to say is that I think the very best toys are the simplest, most elemental ones. And well, no, one of the things which strikes me in thinking about the sort of the history of toys is this, that yes, we had some really great toys produced in the middle of the last century. In Europe, Lego was produced. In the United States, there were Frisbees and Barbies. But since then, there haven't been any really great toys.
Yeah, you lament.
The whole electronic adventure we're all embarked on now has usurped them. And kids today just want to, they get their fantasy and delight from, well, frankly, from computers and iPods.
Yeah, you lament recently.
Not from simple tools of the imagination.
You lament about the decline of the classic toys. And,
well, I'm not sure it's a bad thing. I just think it's an interesting change.
So a computer's not a toy?
Well, I think they are. I mean, I think the essential point is that, you know, whatever age you are, we all have a need for toys. We all want tools, objects, artifacts, which allow us to transform our sense of reality. And you might just as well say that your shiny new pickup truck, it's a toy.
Daddy's toy.
It's something which changes your sense of self.
We've asked our listeners to call in with their favorite toys. Lenore is on the line in East Hampton, New York. Hello.
Hi. Oh, gosh, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to say that my favorite toys I ever got was my father got me the Best of the West action figures set. It was great. It had a chuck wagon, horses, Geronimo, General Custer, and assorted people. It was great.
Gender stereotyping for you.
No, and it's funny because my best friend Valerie and I used to play with it all the time, and it obsessed us all the way through to the next Christmas when, you know, I asked for more. So then I had practically a whole, you know, Western town by then. It was great.
And do you have children?
No, not yet.
But when you do, you'll have to go get them.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'll have to go on eBay and look for them.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye.
Mr. Bailey,
the greatest thing I made for my own children was I just asked a carpenter I know, just to make some very simple wooden blocks, squares, cones, you know, lozenges. And he made lots and lots of them, enough to, you know, to fill the, you know, to fill the trunk of a medium-sized car. And my children spent, you know, the early parts of their childhood just building things with these wooden blocks.
I think
you know, like the psychiatrist Jean Piaget said, I mean, the great thing about toys, I mean, toys are very, very, very important, which is why I'm sort of slightly concerned about the lack of really great toys today. Jean Piaget said, you know, playing with toys, it's like an introduction to science. And you know, really great toys, just they don't just cater to, you know, crude gender stereotypes or fantasy worlds. They're things which actually unlock the imagination, which is why I think things like simple building bricks, I mean, can be the most effective and delightful of all, you know, of all toys.
I have a question on that in just a moment, but let's hear first from Justine in Boise, Idaho. Hello.
Hi. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
I'm 16 and less. Christmas, my little brother got a big bag of 200 extra strength rubber bands from Office Max. Those were the best amortized toy that I have ever seen, and he insisted on another big bag for his birthday.
Your parents wrapped them up and put them under the tree?
They shoved them in his stocking, I think.
Had he asked for these? How did they get that idea to give rubber bands for Christmas?
He's been shooting rubber. He has this huge collection of army guys that he's been shooting on these stairs for years now, and so he's just asked for rubber bands to shoot more army guys.
I think that's just so brilliant. I mean, I can't think of a more intelligent present. No, I mean, seriously, I know that sounds facetious, and I'm not being, but I really seriously mean it. Rubber bands. I mean, these are, you know, what somebody once called an imagination accelerator. I mean, give somebody, give a bright child a box of rubber bands, and there's no end to what he can do. Give a child a complicated, you know, electronic device, and, well, you know, these things have their uses, but they do very, very, very little for the creative imagination.
Justine, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
And speaking of simple things, Mr. Bailey, I'm told there's a possibly apocryphal, I don't know, story that Frank Lloyd Wright, the architect, owes his success to some wooden blocks he got as a child.
Well, exactly, but that's why, I mean my own background is in architecture. This is exactly why I had these wooden blocks made for my own children. And that's because the same guy who invented the kindergarten, German called Froebel, invented these this sort of play system, which are known as Froebel blocks, these simple geometric shapes. And they were a great influence on Frank Lloyd Wright, I mean, one of the greatest of all architects. I mean, the great toys aren't things which are complicated and excessive and overwrought and require a 98-page instruction catalog. The great toys are things which a child, or indeed an adult, you know, can sit down with and just they just let the imagination rip. But the other point I really think it's worth making is that toys don't just appeal to children. I mean, we're all children. The really greatest toy. I think toys is actually probably a demeaning term, because the best tools we have, you know, for stimulating imagination appeal to people of all ages.
Well, we have Louis on the line now in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hi there.
Hi.
What's your favorite?
Well, I want to agree with the gentleman that talks about the simple toys, but I'm calling about a toy that I received probably in the early 60s for Christmas one year, and it had to have been the most dangerous toy I can imagine. This was obviously before the days of litigation. This thing was called a sonic blaster, and it was like a bazooka, and you could pump this up with compressed air, basically load anything you wanted to, I was 10 years old, into the tube of this thing. When you pulled the trigger, it was just an incredible weapon. Now, this thing must have been on the market for 3 months around Christmas time, but I remember getting this thing and probably destroying every other toy I owned with this thing. And I'm ashamed to admit it now, but I'm thinking back and I think, my God, with the way things are now, a toy like that would never be allowed on the market again. I'm sure it's a collector's item.
And too bad your kid won't ever get it because.
I'm glad no child actually will ever see that toy again.
Thanks for calling, Louie.
Yeah, bye.
Peter in Savannah, Georgia. Hi there.
Hi, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You want to hear about my toy?
Please.
Well, just like the little boy who wanted the BB gun, I wanted a Red Wing Flyer.
Oh.
It was a sled. And it was the sled. And besides perceiving myself as the victim in my neighborhood, never having anything new, never having anything of my own, I had a brother 6 years older than me. So not only did I get hand-me-down clothes, I got hand-me-down toys.
Oh, they saved everything for 6 years. Yeah. Poor you.
Well, you know, anyway...
I enjoy sleds myself. I mean, sleds are very important, but I wouldn't describe a sled as a toy. You see, I think they're sporting. No, sporting stuff is it's sort of. Of course, it's productive of delight and joy, which is one of the characteristics of a toy. But I think a toy is not. I mean, real toys are something else, aren't they? There are things which they're not just devices like sleds, which. You know, allow you to have fun down a snowy slope.
Real
toys are things which, as I said, have this ability to transform. You know, your contemporary reality into another one. And you know, for adults, that's, as I said, that's what pickup trucks do. And for children, that's what other things do. I mean, like the hinge door I described before, or like the wooden blocks, which seem to me to be the ideal toy. And I think the big question, it seems to me, is what we're facing nowadays in our civilization is this, is it the end of the toy? Are we not going to have real toys anymore?
Let's get to that after.
Are we going to have a future just with, little electronic devices where we download music from the net?
Slight pause and we'll return to that big question there. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And first, Mr. Bailey, let's just let Peter finish here. While a sled may not be a true toy, Peter, did you feel you would have been transformed had you got that red sled?
Oh, no question about it. It made me rise above everyone in my neighborhood who had essentially boxes on runners. I had the sled. It was the Cadillac of sleds. And it was not just the Cadillac of sleds. It was mine. It wasn't my brother's. No one owned it before me. It was shiny. It was slick. I put wax on it. And not only did it take me down the hill at our home faster than anyone else, it gave me the opportunity to go to the park where there was a mountain in the middle of our city. And I was going to be the sled runner.
All right. Well, thank you.
On my first trip up the hill, I went against my mother's permission. I had done something wrong. A toboggan came down, hit my sled square in the middle, and I turned to look. I felt a tug on the rope, and all I saw were boards flying all over. I never got down that hill.
Oh, dear. Well, Peter, thank you for calling.
Okay.
All right. And we have time for one more call. Catherine is in Oakland, California. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. I think we're going to have an argument about this is a toy. But it definitely was an artifact that changed my reality.
All right.
This would be in the mid-1950s. I was 7 or 8 years old, and apparently I'd expressed a real desire for a coconut.
Okay.
And my grandfather, who his business was satisfying my heart's desire, worked in New York. This was on the East Coast, and apparently tracked down a coconut somewhere in New York City in the mid-1950s. And underneath the Christmas tree was a coconut wrapped in red cellophane. And I will tell you, I've received tons of toys during childhood, and this coconut, I will never forget.
Right.
I was so thrilled, and we spent all of Christmas Day in his workshop trying to get the coconut open.
Well, thanks for calling. Stephen Bailey, can a coconut be a toy?
Well, of course it can. That's a perfect example of my own perceptions about what. I mean, toys are just things, as I said, which excite the imagination, which give the person who receives one an impression of delight. And there are things which you can which you can use which help you change your vision of the world.
A few seconds left here, Mr. Bailey.
Hmm?
We have just a few seconds left. And actually, I need to thank you for joining us and leave it there. But we'll reassess our toys from now on. Thank you for talking with us, Stephen Bailey.
Well.
Design consultant. His latest book is The Dictionary of Idiocy.